Welcome back to the Kicks and Picks podcast. Second night in a row for Nick. We're doubling up this week with the Premier League and Serie A kicking off. And tonight we have Martino Puccio back on the show. Martino's got to be like at least your fourth or fifth time on, I think, right?
Yeah, I think it's like one of the two. I think the second one or third one this year. Definitely, last time was the Euro, I believe.
For sure.
Copa America. Euro was horrible. Did terrible. I don't think I've ever done that bad in a tournament before. So that was bottom of the barrel. But glad to be back.
Yeah, happy to have you back. Nick, two nights in a row, pulling double duty. More in your wheelhouse tonight in terms of what we're talking about. So I think we'll have a good episode 3 Serie A guys doing Serie A talk tonight, right?
Nah, man, we make this easy. We just bring on good guests. So I just kind of sit here and listen. So shout out, Martino. Thank you again for joining us. Always a pleasure. Looking forward to this one. I think we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, so we're going to go through not all the matches, but some of the big storylines here in week one in Serie A. Unlike the Premier League, which you guys talked about yesterday with Matt, with Chelsea against City, big head-to-head to kick things off. Serie A, I think, always tends to avoid a week one kind of like big scenario like that. It seems like, at least to me, as long as I can remember. So we'll go through some of the bigger squads, anything else that jumps out in the lines with some of the other teams. But we'll start with Milan. They play Saturday against Torino. Third match of the day, the late afternoon game here in the States. Hosting Torino, Martino, they're minus 160 on the money line. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on Milan in general after this summer's mercato, I guess? And then what are your thoughts coming into this first match week?
I would say 24 hours ago, kind of positive-ish in terms of, you know, having a good season. But after today's signing, I feel much better. Because that was the biggest position of need for Milan, obviously, because no one's seen a parting centrally like that big for a team that's supposed to win a title. Like, how many times, like Milan, they conceded 49 goals last year. It was the third most they've conceded this century, tied for second, actually. The only other time that they had worse defensive records were the 10th place team in like 2014-15 with Inzaghi, with Pippo Inzaghi. So, yeah. To put in comparison of a second place team conceding that much historically was a very strange season. Whether or not the injuries are really the driving factor or is Pioli's lack of, you know, flexibility tactically, you're basically looking at a fresher Milan, I would say. I still think this is at worst the second best attack in Serie A. I don't think there's a team besides Inter that has a better one. Obviously, goal scorer, you could say a few teams have like a better top scorer, but collectively as Pulisic, Chukwueze, Leao, Morata, Jovic, Okafor, they have tons of options. Yep. And I mean, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how a guy like Okafor gets more time this season. Where does he really play? Is he a striker? Does Jovic get some more leeway? Because now he's the number nine because they gave him that kit number. So it's really interesting in that aspect. But ultimately, they have no shot if they prove they can't defend. If they can't defend, it's going to be the more the same of last year, where Inter basically run away with the title and no one is close to them because they're the best in all three phases, right? Like, they're the best attack. 11-wise, starting-wise, best midfield still, I would say, despite Juve and Milan's additions. And then their defense is just such a solid rock unit that it's really difficult to stop them. They have the best wingbacks, but no one really uses wingbacks like they do. Yeah. So again, it's for Milan, it's really like Leao can't go through a scoring drought of like 4 to 5 months. Morata's got to be dead on in that like range of 12 to 15 goals. And again, both times that Milan have won the title in the 2011 and 2022, they never had a scorer that got above 15 league goals. Everybody was scoring from different angles. So it's not like they need this 20 goal guy, even though everyone would love that. That's really what you worry about. And how well does Fofana adjust as a central defensive midfielder? He's not a true number six, but also it's not easy to just nab one anywhere. So I think that's kind of the issue here, because they're still in this, yeah, we'll buy guys for 20, 25 million. We're spending money. We're not making massive sales. But we're not making that sort of move. And I always say it, even though it didn't work out that well, Bonucci like shook the pendulum of transfer news, right? Like on how big and shocking that was. That kind of felt like Milan meant business, sort of like what Roma are doing this summer. where they're making all these big moves and you're like, okay, this is very serious. They're trying to actually go for something. You could tell how ambitious they are. Milan are like, kind of like, you know, just like the nice kid that just like pays his bills on time. Doesn't make sure anything is late. Just trying to have a good credit score and hope for the best. Right. Never really like taking risks. And that's kind of like the issue with Milan. Like with Inter, we know how much debt they're in. And part of why they're not doing business this summer is because they've been so advantageous with the way they do business. Oh, this guy wants this much in free agency or on a Bosman. We'll pay him that. We'll go the extra length there. We're going to be paying guys exorbitant amounts of money, and it's paid off in tenfold for them. So, yeah, that's kind of my whole perspective on Milan. I'm still skeptical, but in terms of betting, it's a little different.
I'm high on them, man. And I said this. So last year, you and I did a preview together. I was high on them. We had your boy Matt on last week. And last year, they were plus 550. And what I said to anybody, mm-hmm. said when placing a future, if a future like this, you have to take what you deem is a team with the best value that has a realistic shot to compete for the title. That's not to say, I'm not saying Milan's going to win the title. Inter is the favorite. They're defending champions for a reason. But the number for Milan is actually better than it was last year. And that's insane to me because their squad improved so much. And I don't know if that has to do with the new coach.
Do you want me to continue the rant that I always send you on the audio? Because it's not even like a slight at, you know, Roma and Napoli's of the world. Like even Steve was surprised prior to going live about how Napoli is – on BetMGM is getting, you know, plus 450 relative to like Milan plus 650. And I had like two opinions on this. And I mentioned this in the Athletic article that I wrote. It'll come out tomorrow. But basically the point is this, and I yelled over the phone to Nick about this, like in agreement, is that when the team, like I was just saying, Milan finished second with one of the worst defenses that we've ever seen them have. And they're still comfortably ahead of Juventus, who were playing once a week. And had it easy, right? Like they're the Napoli, they're what Napoli is this year, last year, where they didn't play anybody. They had still one of the highest wage bills in a team where they were lacking in midfield. Their midfield's greatly improved. We know that, especially if they get Coop Miners. But to be that much better than Milan while still finishing behind Milan while playing once a week is embarrassing. I feel like it's a little disrespectful to Milan. Yeah. And Juve, we don't even know. We don't know how Thiago Motta can handle multiple competitions. We don't know if they're going to hit the ground running. They're very thin up top. They've missed out on top transfer targets. Yep. It's their direction that they're heading in is okay, but I think everyone is jumping the gun on their timeline. They're not the second best team in the league. And even if they are, they shouldn't be valued that much higher than Milan. That's the problem here. Like, if you're telling me, what are they, 350, right?
370, in most places? Something around there, yeah.
So, like, we're talking about a 300 difference? Like, that's insane to me. For something I think the majority of people, even Juve fans, would say, yeah, Milan most likely are better. But even if you did have them on the same level, right, this difference shouldn't be like that. I think it's silly. Because absolutely. I think you could rely upon Milan still scoring and creating because they have so much depth. And they're going to be playing a similar style that Fonseca did with Pioli, but more balance. And when you mix those things together on top of strong additions, why are they fourth? Why are they like labeled as this team further back? And we all agree, like even Inter has good value, I think. The fact that Inter are not like minus 200 or anything like that,
right,
to me kind of says that a lot. Like for comparison in Bundesliga, Bayern are minus 225. I know exactly. Bayern have a stranglehold on the league. They're still the most talented on paper, but they also have question marks about them. Where are the question marks about Inter? I don't think there's many of them. Maybe center back depth, if that. And you're really just starting to wonder where these odds are coming from. But like these are the public books in the States. They're very fascinating with how it goes. And I think Napoli is just simply on MGM, and I guess people are just hoping that Antonio Conte will push them further once a week. And the last point I'll say here before we can move on is that even with Napoli, if you have them once a week, that's great. Conte is at least the second best coach in the league at this point, I would say, just off of reputation. I think he deserves that behind Inzaghi. But how often do we have to see a serene Antonio Conte, which is not often, for things to work well. He hasn't gotten the striker he wanted. The first match is kicking off this weekend. We know how ADL is. Even if they get the players he wants, right? They're probably not coming or going to be ready until after the first international break. So we're talking about a few matches already where they could be stumbling out the gate because they don't have who he wants and who he currently has. Are they that good? Are they that deep yet? No, I would say not. I think you're going to lose as a ceiling with Osimhen, 20 plus goals as a ceiling. You get Lukaku in there, I think the ceiling changes to like 15, 16 goals because he's slower than he used to be. He's probably still strength will be great for Serie A, but physical shape, injuries have been waning on him. He's already 30 now, turning 31, I believe. So like there's too many question marks with these teams, whereas Milan, you have less questions about them. And that's what's so perplexing to me about the number is that there's more question marks about the two teams ahead of Milan as opposed to not. And that's kind of where I'm sitting at with it. And I think Milan do have the best value outside of the favorite. I think that's really fair to say. If you call me biased, like fair enough, Nick here. So
No. I'm going to tell you, I mean, 2 years in a row now, I've placed the future on Milan. I mean, last year they were plus 550. You know, you didn't know how the signings were going to work out, but in my mind, they had a shot. They were better than Juve. They were as good as Napoli. And guess what? Turned out that they were better than those teams. They finished 10 points back because Inter went on an amazing run and had a beautiful season. But every player that Milan brought in, with the exception of like the one injury for Okafor or Chukwueze, I forget which guy got injured, but like, you know.
Well, they were kind of both over time.
Loftus-Cheek comes in. He's incredible. Pulisic comes in. He's incredible. Giroud had Reinders. A great first half of the season, right? I think Reinders, incredible.
Yeah.
The Champions League kind of knocked them back a little bit because they, you know, they focused on that and they were in this group and they very easily could have won the group. Things didn't go their way, but that kind of derailed their season a little bit. Point I'm trying to make is, like I was saying, the number is better this year and the team is better. It's going to be a more consistent team. There's more talent. And nobody else in the league. I mean, you know, if you believe Osimhen stays and you believe Kvaratskhelia improves from what he did last year, and you believe that Conte is worth 3 wins, 4 wins, 5 wins just from the coaching carousel they had last year, maybe Napoli at like plus 900 has a little bit of value, but that's it, dude. So I'm with you. I'm high on this Milan team. I think they have a realistic shot to get it done. It's going to come down to the big head-to-heads, but they're going to
which is what they were terrible in. They were not great. I think they did well against the Roma clubs, but you know, when they're facing Juve, they didn't have a great record. They drew against Napoli, and even if Napoli, they won the title the year before, that was a terrible game. And then Milan, listen, we could talk about injury crises. We'll see what happens if there's a difference with no Pioli now, because they had no center backs. Teo Hernandez was playing at center back, and they don't have backup left backs. You know, like the one left back that they were interested in the summer before was Calafiori, who went on to Bologna because they thought, oh, he'll be a decent backup left back. And he turns into one of the hotter prospects in all of Europe. For Milan, it's really a mix of health. And when they're staring down the barrel of Inter, how do they respond? Because also, if they have another tough derby loss, say Inter win by 2-0 or something like that, right? Just for an example, how do they respond after that? Is it poor form? Does it something that they could shake off easily? Because much of that core is still kind of there from last year. They've lost a record amount of derbies. I it's really interesting to see how Fonseca preps them for that. I'm not too worried about how they play against all these other sides, but man, it's like you wonder, the psychological advantage feels massive for Inter over Milan. And it's just, I've never seen that before with these two together. No. They're like with Juve, obviously they were the best for years, but these two, I think it's fascinating. And it does remind me a little bit of the year prior to when Milan won, or the year of, where you're kind of like, a few things have to go Milan's way, and not always serene seasons for Inter. Like the year Napoli won, Inter were horrible in the first half. Like really bad. One of the most pathetic signs I think we saw. We saw them stumble in 2022. So they're kind of susceptible to that, but they might be a little bit more proven now. I think they're more, you know, I don't know what the proper word is for it. I just think they're a more solidified team at this point in where they're at with all these players.
Yeah, and they could still add to the attack. Tammy Abraham still continues to be linked almost daily with them every time I read the Roma rumors.
You sound like you want to get rid of him.
No, I, you know.
Insane to me, by the way. Go ahead, Steve. I'm gonna rant. So you go ahead with Tammy.
Oh, I'm interested.
It depends on what exactly he expects to be, I guess, because at Roma now he's the number two striker if he stays, right? And I think it depends on the reason why Roma wants to move him is Roma's trying to cut salary and cut costs, I think, is what it comes down to. I know what you're gonna say, Nick, because we've had this conversation. Would I mind keeping him around as the number two striker? No, because if you sell him, you're gonna need to find somebody the next couple weeks to back up Dovbyk. I'm curious where they would go in terms of finding a second striker. But I guess if, you know, Tammy's on the books for, I don't know if it's like $6 million a year salary and another six or eight, whatever in transfer costs, I can see why they would try to move him for someone, maybe half that cost. But yeah, I know what you're gonna say, so I'll let you say it.
Listen, I'm not going to turn a blind eye to the fact that this guy is coming off almost a career threatening injury, right? Like for a striker, you miss a year, it's a lot, right? It's dog years for strikers. He scored something like 25, 28 goals in all competitions his first year with Roma.
Conference league boost.
Right. And gets then, hurt. Yeah. I mean, terrible. No, that he
didn't get hurt until after the second season, which he wasn't as good.
But you don't lose that talent completely. So he has a high ceiling. He's a strong physical guy. He's got good instincts. You want to be the man somewhere. I understand that's tough because a lot of teams play with one striker nowadays, right? That's the new way of football. But if you're Roma and you're a serious team and you want to get out of sixth place and you want to compete for the Conference League or the Europa League or whatever league you guys are in this year, you want to make top four and get back into the Champions League. You're keeping this guy, and you're keeping Dybala, and you have an attack like the one we just talked about.
Dybala is a different story, though. I don't care about Dybala. Forget about if he wants to be there
or if he doesn't. If his agent's only making fucking $12 million off of this goddamn move, that's a joke to me. Like, I don't care how old he is, how injury prone he is. He's still a game changer. You keep these guys if you want to fucking compete, because, like you said, Dovbyk has a hard time adjusting, gets off to a slow start, or gets hurt, or whatever.
He was a late bloomer too.
Who are you going to?
Who's older than Tammy? He's same age.
He's 27, I think. Yeah. So
he's not spring chicken. I think it's interesting because Tammy recovering from injury in the spring didn't even really get a chance to play with De Rossi's team and setup.
Right.
And the talent that he has. Because I would also argue, like, no disrespect to Roma, like garbage under Mourinho in the league.
Yeah.
Garbage. Like the play was just atrocious. They had to rely, and I had a tweet last year I kept repeating. I know Nick knows it. I was just like, every Roma game is the same. They play like garbage. They're pretty much tied or down a goal heading into the 80th minute or so. Dybala or Lukaku bails them out. And it's just not a method for success. And obviously that's why he got sacked. But where is that under De Rossi? Because I think I love the Sule and Dovbyk moves. But if the corresponding moves to that are selling your best and most important player and a backup striker who, at worst case, Tammy could be, I think not at worst case, Tammy could be the best backup in Serie A. He could be. Like him or Taremi, I think, would be on that level. I think he's better than Jovic, Okafor, all these other guys you could think of. And I get selling him if the price is right for Roma. But what's the point in cutting costs after you've been so ambitious and you spent around $70 million and then however much Baldanzi cost too? I think they owe it to someone like Dybala, and we'll see what happens with Tammy, to at least go for it. Because then it just feels like one step forward, a step and a half back. Because it's just and I know most Roma fans think this way, because it's just because everything's positive, happy going into the season. There were positive signs heading into the end of last year. And now you kind of undo all that because you get rid of Dybala. And that's just crazy to me.
It's like pulling the rug out from under us two weeks before the season.
So much better than I was. Yeah. Like, thank you for not having the hatred in your response there. That was beautiful, because that's what I was trying to say. Martino said it beautifully.
Oh, well, I have to, otherwise my family would get angry at me and then probably more threats on the internet. But listen, it's the Roma are good and talented. And also, like, by the way, I'm dumping Cristante before I dump these other guys. if someone is relatively valuable, how is this guy not able to fetch like 15 million somewhere? And I know, like, whatever, like, Roma don't have the greatest of midfields, but like, come on, like, this guy is, if we're deeming certain players useless and you need to get funds, why is that guy not at the forefront of it? He should be the one leading. It shouldn't be Kane, it shouldn't be Dybala. Like, those guys win you games. Like, how many times did Dybala win you games? I'm sure you would have to go through it all. Even if they were inflated by penalties, it doesn't matter. He's still finishing.
No, he's a match winner. He still is. And the thing is, too, I think when you bring in Sule and you bring in Dovbyk and you've got Pellegrini and Baldanzi and Lefay now, like, you've got an attacking midfield and wingers that can play where he can rest more often, like, by choice, not by force, right? Like, they haven't been able to manage his minutes the way they need to be managed because they haven't had the depth to do it. Now, you know, Sule getting knocked in games that
he starts, like, he's getting knocked out of the, like, you know, like, people, I see people pointing to, like, oh, he played in like 30 something games last year. I was like, yeah, but how many over 65 minutes?
Right.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, if you're, and I think they did a good job with like his wage structure. It's incentivized. You have to be on the pitch. You have to score. You have to produce. And it's been reflected in that. But if your goal is to get back into the Champions League, then you keep that guy.
Thing that Roma can't control is if he's going for 25 to 30 million a year annual, right? From
Then
it's out of Roma's hands because
Roma's
not actively trying to sell him. I think that's the difference between Abraham and Dybala that has to be made, right? That's the difference is Roma's not shopping Dybala.
Then it's just conflicting reports at that point because then, like, if Skira is saying, oh, yeah, Dybala wants to stay, he wants to win a trophy at Roma, then it's like, okay, then someone here is entertaining an offer from Saudi Arabia. Who is it? Is it the player? Is it the agents? Is it the owners? Like, somebody's obviously invested in this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I think if they lose Dybala this late, that's a huge implication on top four. It's a huge, huge.
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump into match week one here because I want to get it. What do you want to say? I'm happy about Lazio. We could talk about. We'll talk about them when we get to the game. Let's talk about Milan because the line did move about 35 cents. They were -130 yesterday. They're -165 today at home to Torino. The one guy I want to talk about because I have a bet right off the bat. I don't usually do this, but I'm going to do it. If he's starting, Morata to score +160. I think Morata is a great move. I think we know his floor. He's a known quantity in this league. I think at worst, provided healthy, he's going to give you 12, 13, 14 goals. There's no doubt in my mind. This guy just announced his divorce. He is about to be on revenge tour. He's going to go fucking beast mode. I think he scores in this first game if he starts +160.
Steve, you want me to go?
Yeah, you can go. I'll let you go.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really interesting. I haven't seen any projected lineups. Matt and I were trying to figure this out. He started the Trofeo Berlusconi, won a trophy, by the way, where Morata started in that one. And he looks lively. We're really not even that far removed from the Euro final.
And he had an awful tournament, by the way. I mean, counteracting what I was saying. He was
last time we signed a striker that won a tournament that did terrible, you know, it worked out well. I would say Morata, the dynamic difference he'd bring as an athlete alone is going to show immediately. Like, he was like pressing and fighting and won a corner. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, Giroud never did that. Giroud was just like lurking in the box. Or if he's outside of the box, he's trying to do a flick or something. Milan played well against Torino for the most part. I'm not taking any stock about what happened in May. That was the most useless game possible. It was just like another FU from Duvan Zapata, basically. Milan had nothing to play for. They were already clinched in second, so that helped their pot for the Champions League this year. So again, grain of salt. I would say them losing Buongiorno is massive. They have issues winning in Milan quite often.
Change of manager, no Juric.
Yeah, Juric too is, I mean, this is just Torino in a nutshell, right? Positive, progressive season yet again. Sell your best player. And Buongiorno was unbelievable. Really had a case for defensive player of the year last year.
Yeah.
Or like should have been in top three. I don't even think he was. For me, Milan, however much stock you want to take into preseason, looked great. And I think they have more to prove out of the top teams. Maybe Napoli, right? Because they're more upset about how last year went. I think Milan are going to step on the gas here. I think they're going to actually control this entire game. I think that they can win by two goals, but this defense is just bizarre. I think you see Bennacer and Reinders start next to each other. Fofana's obviously not going to be there. Pulisic is likely to make his start. He trained back with the group today, so that's sort of important news. Again, if Pulisic does not start, I'd urge people to realize that it's probably going to be Loftus-Cheek. He was the one who played in that position last year. If they do stick with the 4-2-3-1, we don't know if Fonseca will be flexible, use a 4-3-3. Maybe Liberale, who has been that, you know, teenage sensation, gets some minutes. It's possible towards the end of this game. But, you know, Leao off of a disappointing overall season, lots to prove. Chukwueze, lots to prove. He's been very direct and positive and confident in this preseason. I think it spells a really good match for Milan. And again, always go back to score or assist with Rafael Leao. I feel like this is like that game for him. The amount of space that he's going to be afforded now is still completely different than when you had Giroud there. It just is. Counterattacking wise, they have a guy who could move. He's not a geriatric, right? Like Giroud is ancient. He could not move at all. Those stats were very misleading in terms of production. The production was great. The overall play, I know you guys watch Milan, was not. And it was hampering them quite often. Now this is a totally different dynamic. I think we see it match day one. I had Milan and then over 1.5. I wouldn't even be scared to go Milan over 2.5. But just they still kind of stink finishing wise, right? They'll always create chances, but
yeah,
they could still be rusty first game of the season, expecting 3 goals. But there could be that 2-1 in the cards, right?
Like, yeah, it's not Scotty were here, you would call them chances FC, because I rode Milan's team total heavily last year, and I'm with you. I think it's playable on its own. It's -130 for 1.5 goals for Milan. I think Milan corners at 5.5. Like, it sounds like a lot, but I still feel like it's very attainable for this team.
Like that much, but I'm also crazy. So
even money, yeah, too, 5.5 corners.
Even money, and you're right on, Martino. Milan win and over 1.5. That seems just kind of like it. I mean, that's even money as like a pre-made.
That's even money now. So I even got it money early.
And if you do it yourself, you could probably get better odds.
Yeah, and I think when I was texting you earlier this week, I got it at +120. That was the first thing I locked in, because I was very surprised to see Milan at that number. Just like Inter's number too, which I'm sure we'll talk about. I think both of those are pretty surprising, to be honest with you. Just because of like vibes and expectations and standards for both of these teams heading into the first match, their opponents are not great. They lost key players. And to me, I think that the books might've made a mistake here, but could easily have egg in my face in a week.
Yeah. Like, I think, you know, Milan at home talking about, you know, they obviously they're adjusting to a new manager as well, but, I kind of like Milan to take care of business here. Like you said, losing Buongiorno, losing Juric, like, I don't know what Torino's defensive shape is going to be like. Even if you want to like hedge a little bit, you could say Milan -3/4 of a goal is -120, right? If you don't know if they cover the 2 goals,
yeah,
at least you get a half cash out at a 1 goal win there without having to go to -165 or whatever it is. So that's an interesting one too. But I think team total, I kind of like the team total too. I think they can get 2 goals in this match.
Definitely.
I think just that's a pretty good shout on Morata too. He's +160 or better.
Revenge tour.
The always wonky numbers.
Yeah. And I hate Morata. You guys know that. But I think he's going to come back and do a good job. And dude, I said this about Torino. I mean, obviously they're missing some guys, like you said. Somebody tweeted it and I looked and I was like, you look at Torino's lineup and if you told me this was a lineup from 5 years ago, I would have believed you. Like, they have the exact same talent level year in and year out.
Yeah.
The players may change. Right. The Buongiorno's of the world who are really good. Right. And
now it's Zapata, know. Used to be Belotti or used to be somebody else. It's just the same quality of player year in and year out.
These odds are like hysterical to me. Can I know we do this literally every time I'm on here.
Go.
They're insane. Again, Chaka Traore has the 4th highest odds to score a goal in this game. He's not going to play a minute for Milan this season. Yeah. If he plays for them this season, it's a fucking miracle. Like, how does he come in at 200 and then you go down to Teo Hernandez is +800? How is that possible?
Yeah, the goal scorer lines never make sense to me when I go through. Even I'll do the same thing with Roma matches, right? You'll have like a random player who's up from the Primavera for that match with better odds and like a starting midfielder or something. It doesn't make sense.
Like Zalewski get like plus 250 and then
Dybala. A lot of them are rated by position. It's just like, oh, this guy's a forward, so he has to be rated this.
But that's so stupid.
Yeah.
It's insane to me. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I like score or assist is usually something I rock with.
I like to look at those too. I don't think they're up yet here on DraftKings, but I do like the score.
Yeah, assist. I don't see them up. It's just a first goal scorer or anytime scorer. Yeah. Even shots on goal is always something I like too. That usually pops up. I don't know if DraftKings does it, but overall shots is usually a thing.
No.
So I think overall shots is usually better.
I think FanDuel is probably the best for the shots market. If you guys have access to that, I know FanDuel has some good stuff.
Do they?
Another one that FanDuel has sometimes, so at least for the Champions League and the international stuff, they'll have goalkeeper saves, which
DraftKings. Oh, really?
I know. If you know a team's going to pepper a keeper, there's value there.
Consigli must have been a cash cow.
Basically, know that I bet a team to score, take the opposing keeper to make as many saves as possible.
That's so funny. Yeah, I didn't know that.
So let's go across the San Siro to Inter, who's playing away at Genoa this weekend.
Pretty another big line that moved a lot.
Yeah, now minus 205 on the money line. Genoa plus 500. Genoa, to me, I'm wondering where their attack is coming from now. You know, they sold Retegi. Gudmundsson, I think, is still on the
going
market.
To Fiorentina, right?
He's going to Fiorentina.
Did
they
officially go? So
I don't know if it's official, but I saw his face in his.
He's not listed in the goal scorer option, so it's done, right? So where are their goals? I know Pinamonti's linked, but he's not there yet, and he's that moves the needle that much, right? So, is this going to be just an Inter runaway, Inter clean sheet? Maybe I don't know what the lines are there. I just thought of that when I'm thinking about Genoa losing all their attacking. Inter clean sheet plus 115. Kind of like that against this Genoa side.
Man, Lautaro not at a plus 120. I don't know who I am today. I'm a goal scorer kind of guy, but this
I texted you that. That was one of those things.
Sorry, I forgot all about it.
Thanks for paying attention. Taremi is like the favorite for that. We know Inzaghi's weird, right? So like he'll make those weird substitutions, early substitutions when he doesn't have to, right? I know usually sometimes it stems from yellow cards. Like a midfielder will get a yellow card in like the first half and he'll sub him off in the 55th minute. Maybe he's trying to be cautious with Lautaro. He had a little bit of a later summer. So that's the only kind of thing that you would kind of stem away from. Correct score combinations are always fun. Not even just the exact score combinations. They do a combo of multiple goal combos. So like, for example, Inter to win 1-0, 2-0, or 3-0 is plus 170.
I don't hate that.
And again, I agree with you, Steve. Where are the goals coming from with Genoa? And I also think with that Gudmundsson news coming through, that's why it moved so much.
Yeah.
Because they also had him listed as in the odds for a goal scorer. So they didn't even anticipate that. They're not replacing Retegi. And you're really just sitting there saying to yourselves, so they're supposed to beat that Inter who just went on a historic run. How are they even supposed to score on them, right?
Because
we're talking about a winner.
Yeah.
It's just, to me, this one makes no sense. I guess you could do Inter team total again over 1.5. I'm not sure what that's at. I think that's another
minus 155. But if you take Inter to win and over 1.5, it's minus 120.
See, that's where it gets difficult for me because I love the Lautaro one. Do you guys feel trapped by these Inter scoring odds that it might not go that way? Do we see a penalty immediately again and it goes to Hakan? I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, if you're asking if Inter are going to score two goals, you're cutting that money line down by 90 cents. I think I'm going to get sucked into taking it.
Yeah, and I really like the clean sheet at plus money. Genoa played Coppa Italia this past week. They struggled to score. Messias bailed them out with the one goal they
scored. They had 1,000
right?
shots, though, right?
Tons of chances against the Serie B side. I forget which team it was, but they're not going to pepper Inter like that. And you tell me Messias or Vitinha is going to break them down. I don't see it. So I think at plus money, I think that's really good value in Inter. There's a lot of matches where they're minus money on a clean sheet type of line. So kind of like it.
To score in both halves, Inter plus 146. Pretty good.
Yeah.
I think they're a full 90-minute team. They're deep enough attack-wise. They never take their foot off the gas. They had an incredible differential last year. It was like almost 60, 70 goals. It was insane. I think probably leaning towards that. But again, whatever parlay I had, I placed them earlier in the week. It was Milan and Inter money line. That came out to +120, I think I said, right? And then, that was Milan and over 1.5 is +120. I got +160 for when Milan and Inter were both around the 140, 160-ish range. I do have another parlay where it's Milan, Inter, and Lautaro to score at +383. Again, I was just very excited. I know that sounds weird as a Milan fan to just sort of like see Inter valued this way because it's just silly. Again, maybe we're missing something, but I feel like most of the time when we all talk and we see something outrageous regarding Serie A, we're kind of right. Like it does usually play out that way. Or at the very least, we don't even regret placing it because I don't have any regrets of that. Like, I don't think it's like whatever they call the closing line value.
Yeah.
It would be four, whatever, right? These new statistics.
Yeah. Closing line value means jack shit if you lose the bet, right? So,
yeah. I get that on Pickett all the time. It's like, well, not that great, Mr. Puccio. I was like, yeah, but I'm up. So,
yeah, right. Listen, dude, I'm so with you. I say this all the time. Steve's probably like sick of hearing it from me. I used to say it every week, like when we did our locks of the week, I'd be like, you know, you put your chips in the middle when you think you have the best bet. And listen, I like Real Madrid when they're plus money. I don't give a shit who they're playing. I'm taking that bet.
How well did we make out live betting Real Madrid last year?
It felt like it was every game.
I can't even like count on my hands how many times we did that. And it was like involving Vinicius. Yeah. Yep. It was crazy. So, it's just insane.
Quite a few times I texted Nick like Real's down 1-0. Yeah. +120 on the money line. And that's we're like, all right, like you have to take it.
So
first time
me...
I benefited from potential match fixing, I will say. Because some of those games you were just like, holy shit, like I got a gift. I forgot which one it was.
Vinny Jr. was involved 100%.
Do you remember when they there was like two or three goals scrapped by VAR? I forget the team that they were playing, but this is just a side conversation. I'm sorry. But it was like insane that you like saw it unfold and you're like, I don't have any anger at this. This is actually going well for me. So,
right. Yeah. Listen, dude, what I'll say, like, and I'm usually really big on underdogs in the first few weeks of the season. Right. And usually things are a little more mispriced than I think they are. I think things are priced actually pretty fairly this week. But it's not unusual for a team to get off to a slow start. It's not unusual for a good team to get off to a slow start. New manager, new players, a lot of guys fatigue from the year before, right? Inter, deep Champions League run. Their players are in the Euros. Their players are in the Copa America.
Yeah.
These guys are tired. So if you mean, you know, would it shock me to see a 0-0 first half because Inter couldn't get something going and maybe they have to squeak out a 1-0 win or you know, 1-1 draw, shock result? Like, that shit does happen. But if you're
if you've seen these games, they it's like dude, like they could both be doing it. You know, like it's not just Barcelona. We've all seen Real Madrid games. Like, come on. They're crazy. Sorry.
Yeah.
It was just
Well, speaking of new managers, Nick, and teams that maybe get off to a slow start, what do we think of Napoli moving to Sunday? -125 on the money line at Hellas Verona.
Lock of the week.
Starting striker is slated to be Raspadori. I do like them on the money line too, -125. I think Hellas stinks. We saw it in the Coppa Italia this past week. I mean, their starting striker I've never heard of, Tengstedt.
Yeah. Potentially a year for Hellas to finally go down. We just saw Hellas give up 3 goals in the Coppa Italia to, a Serie C team.
Just newly promoted to B, I think, or something.
Okay, yeah. Newly promoted to B. I don't care how bad Napoli looked. I don't care who their striker is for this game. Like, there's not a chance on the planet that they lose to this Hellas team. Give me them at -125 all day. And if they do lose or if they do draw, all right, well, I just paid for 2 points to get dropped by the direct rival to everybody. Is what it is.
Yeah. I was just then a 2-1 against Hellas in the Copa. Yeah.
Come on. Can't happen.
You're a psycho because I don't know what you saw in Coppa Italia that makes you comfortable about this. Like, and it's not even like a Verona thing for me. Like, you probably can look like smart by this. I'm too scared. I don't trust them. I can't put my foot down and say, oh yeah, Napoli, who just scraped on by against Modena, winning on penalties via Meret, and a disgruntled manager who doesn't have the player he wants, like, that's like, I'll just watch it happen. Like, I'll root for you, but dude, I don't know how you do it.
Hey man, I don't know. I just
Kavara, I think will make a stand. Again, Kavara is one
plus
of those 210 players,
on the goal line for him.
Okay. So again, I would more so look at score or assist for him because he's just that dynamic as a player. Mm-hmm. I think he's still not selfish enough as he needs to be with this sort of team because he doesn't have that like star striker at the moment, but I think he's just incredible. I think at worst he's like the top 5 in the league.
Yeah, I think if they win this one, I do think they win just because Hellas is Hellas, like Nick mentioned. I don't think I touch like team total or anything because I just don't trust that they're going to score multiple goals. I think it's straight money line at -125 if you're going with Napoli.
Is Raspadori's like starting as a false nine or a Simeone starting?
That's the projection that's at least from Gazzetta right now.
Yeah, so it's just difficult. And then they don't, and apparently Conte is having a falling out with Ciro Negan as well. So I don't know what's going on there. I think that hurts like with a dynamic player on the right side because then they're just rolling with Politano again, right? So
really can't fathom that they're going to start out of the gate as bad as they did last year. I just can't.
But it's Napoli.
It is, but it's Hellas.
I cannot
it's
fathom, Hellas. And then you say it's Napoli.
It's Hellas.
I know, but I'm just
Hellas
saying.
Hellas is worse than Napoli is
they're
unpredictable.
Terrible. They're terrible. But there's just something about Napoli right now.
All
right,
we'll see.
See like the full Conte, I have this in control effect before I would bet on Napoli. But maybe you are getting a great number here.
I mean, because that's exactly it. They shouldn't be -125 to Hellas. I don't care what form they're in, who's on their roster. If this game is in December, they're -250.
Yeah, you're right.
That's why I like it.
You're right. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Before you move on, Coach Oaks, we're not trying to trash Madrid here. It's just there was one game. And we'll have to look it up, but like we literally got a gift of like a 98th minute Vinny Jr. penalty or VAR
and
offside.
Then Jude bailed us out as well.
It was just one of those. It was one particular game. We're not saying it week in and week out. It just kind of happened.
No, yeah, I think you can.
Mike, yeah, I'll book that action, dude. I'll give you 4-1.
You can't parlay team futures to qualify top four, right? Because if you could qualify, that would be the way to bet against them would be to pick like Milan, Juve.
And not even the top four odds aren't really even that good. Like it's Roma really has the best value for it. Napoli is like pretty heavily.
Yeah, they're pretty heavily favored to get in there. Yeah. All right, Nick. So moving on from one powder blue side to your powder blue side, Lazio hosting Venezia, newly promoted side. Lazio, pretty big favorite to the money line, -230. No. Venezia applies +550. And what is it justified here? I mean, new look Lazio in many ways, new manager, but Venezia is newly promoted, which is where I think a lot of the -230 comes from.
Yeah, and they didn't look good in Coppa Italia either. I think Venezia is a team. How much of it is like American storybook, right? They have a American player. They've been around. Their kits look good. Paramount Plus hypes them up a little bit. I think Como is going to be kind of in that same realm. Like, how good are these teams really versus how much do we like the story? That being said, Lazio with a new manager, with new players, how they performed last year should not be -200 to anybody. So I don't buy those odds. I don't know what's going to happen in this game. I'd like to see a win. I'd like to see a comfortable win. But if you told me you can get Venezia plus a goal and a quarter at -130, that's not a terrible bet. If Lazio win by two, great. But I have to see it first before I can bet on them.
Yeah, I don't trust them enough to bet minus a goal and change. And that's maybe part of me being Roma biased, but I just like this Lazio side has to prove it. I think after Ciro leaves, Luis Alberto, you know. Look at
they've lost
lineup.
All their best players the past 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Listen, but we cut wages, so we did what Roma couldn't.
Yes. You're cutting points.
100%.
-240 is kind of – it's not that surprising. Venezia is not very good.
Yeah.
So, like, it's – yeah, I just wouldn't bet. Maybe, like, both teams to score possibly.
Yeah.
You know, maybe look at that. over, but I don't even know what the finishing will be like. I think Castellanos will have like an improved season. It's hard to adjust to Serie A from where he came from, Spain. So, dude, I don't know. I don't think I'll be betting you guys too much this year.
This is not much. This is a no bet game. You have to see what this team is made of first. But I mean, they got younger. They got a new coach. They got no egos. Hopefully, let's see what they got. Right, no expectations. They needed a reset. They got one.
All right, so let's go across the Olympico then. Roma starting on the road against Cagliari. Always a tricky place for Roma to play historically. They're minus 105 on the money line. Cagliari plus 270. What do we think of Roma here? Because I know I'm going to get suckered in. Roma's like even money or so, I'm usually taking it.
Like I said, I don't understand what the books are doing other than trapping me into taking Roma. Yeah. I would normally be all over Cagliari in this game, but you can't. Roma at even money is a play. Roma over 1.5 goals is a play. It's also even money. I don't know. I don't really need to look too much further than that.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. This Cagliari side, Jimmy and I went over their roster when we were kind of looking at the match on CDT, and there's not many players that jump out at you on this Cagliari side that scare you. So
who's there? Is like Pavoletti still there forward? Like who's doing it?
No, geez, let me see the problem formation here. They've got projected to start Piccoli and Lavumbo.
Oh yeah, okay. Pairing. He was there last year, right? Or he was on one of those teams that was like Cagliari.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cagliari over 2.5 cards. I could see come in.
Dybala still going to play, or
he is apparently available for Sunday, not projected to start. We'll see if he does or not. I know Paredes is suspended, so Lefebvre gets his first start for sure. With Cristante Pellegrini most likely in the midfield, and it's looking like Sule, Dubvik, and El Shaarawy as the projected players right now. But they could always surprise you and see Dybala out there. I don't know.
Feels like a trap, smells like a trap, and I probably take it. I thought it was weird too when I saw the line come out. I know whatever road game, these teams are annoying, like Cagliari, terrible. Like just I can't stand these types of clubs. I just think they're everything what's wrong with Italy and Italian football, clubs like this. So sorry to any Cagliari fans in the chat, but I mean like Roma, like there's a lot of hype and expectation going into this game too, or to start this season.
Yeah.
So I think they'll start off on the right foot. Little worried, similar to like the Napoli line, but I would be inclined to bet them just because I think Cagliari are terrible and Roma are that much better. And again, like Nick was just saying, with if this was in December, it wouldn't be at this number. Yeah, right? Like I don't think we see that happening.
A couple interesting goal scorer lines too. Sule and Pellegrini both plus 240, which are pretty good numbers. I'd take a look at Pellegrini goal or assist if it's plus money.
I'd take a look at Sule goal or assist. He's been on fire in preseason.
He hooked up with Pellegrini a really nice goal.
Oh,
Everton the other day.
Was it that like chip pass, right?
Yeah. Over the top and Pellegrini settled it and finished. Yeah.
The other thing too, man, he started last year really, really hot. He definitely fell off a cliff after like October. But if that's anything to go by, you know,
well, I think too, when you're on Frosinone and teams start game planning for you as a 21-year-old, right? Like you're going to slow down a little bit. Now he's surrounded by more talent, not going to be able to key on him as much. I think to me, like he could be the signing of Serie A in terms of like what they got him for it over the next couple of years. Because I think that was a Juve, we need cash for Coop Miners. Like, I don't know, just to sell a kid like that.
Yeah, well, Juve. Separate story with those guys, you know.
And speaking of them, they're minus 330 at home on Monday on the money line against newly promoted Como, who has quite a bit of hype themselves coming into this season.
Wish it was anybody else, man. I wish they were playing anybody else.
But minus 330 would be all over them. Yeah. I mean, Vlahovic is minus 115 to score anytime
soon. I have no interest in betting this game.
Yeah. Same.
At all. Maybe a draw, but not really.
If Como gets to like plus two, I'll take him. But
sure. Yeah. Yeah.
There's now, nothing else to do.
The only value is plus goal and a half on them is the value right now. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's got to get to two to take it. I think you're right.
So, I want to ask you a question, Martino. So, we talked about it a little bit last week. I was listening to the Calcio guys yesterday, or they dropped their episode a couple days ago, and Gianni said that he thinks Como can sneak into the top 10.
I
am on the flip side, where I'm not saying they're going to get relegated, but they're plus 800 to get relegated. They're a newly promoted side. That's fucking wild. I don't give a shit who their manager is. I don't care who they brought in.
Last week, right? We said that that line was big for.
You're giving me plus 800 for a newly promoted team to go back down. What do you think is more likely? They get relegated or they finish top 10?
It's a really good question.
Well, this is our projection lineup. So if you're looking at, and Varane is out for a month, who's their big free agent signing, right? But you're looking at players like
literally taking a vacation in the city he's playing in.
Belotti could throw in up front. Players like, I think Strafetz is a decent player.
I do like him a lot.
I love Strafetz. Yeah, he's one of those, like him and Colpani are like sort of my like favorite Serie A players that are like outside the top clubs.
Moreno's got experience, Dossena, Reina. Like, so they're, you know, Goldeniga. There's guys that have been around there. I think they're more than a relegation club for sure, but top 10 maybe feels like a reach too. I think they're more in that like 11 to 16 range probably, but or 12.
I think there were some like awful teams that just escaped relegation last year.
Yeah.
Too,
which is a big thing. Udinese was terrible.
Yes.
And I think Samardžić is one of those players that helped bail him out.
Yes.
In avoiding relegation. Just on an individual game, Juve, to an extent, that's a pretty big margin, right? Minus 330.
Minus 330 is big,
That's pretty big. But, nah, there's nothing here. Like, Dusan at minus 115, just get out of my face. Like, stay away from me. Like, that's just... just nothing about this appeals to me at all. I really can't even say that. It's just not really one of those games I would want to do.
Yeah, I think the only value maybe is if you think Como can score a goal, maybe take one of their strikers. Like a little
Patrick Cutrone scoring on Juve.
Plus 475, Belotti plus 550. Like those are big numbers, but I'm not saying to take them.
This reeks like Como get a penalty and then Di Gregorio saves it.
Right.
You know? And one of those guys just doesn't take advantage of their moment and act like their career is over after they miss it. That's all of the big games. I don't have anything else. I do have one more. I don't know if we'll get to it, but
hit us. Go.
What do we think about Parma over Fiorentina?
That's a spot for an upset.
Parma's at home.
Yeah.
This time with them back up feels way more legit. Feels more into this Kyle Kraus ownership where he's had time, because they got back up and they got relegated pretty quick. Yep. I think he bought them when they were up. I think they've done better business. They did a great job in Serie B. Fiorentina, lots of moving parts. What's Nico Gonzalez's situation? How does Paladino adjust currently? Their market has been pretty good. It's not bad. I think Fiorentina are an interesting team.
Yes.
I think Parma, I think if both teams to score,
Yeah,
I think draw is definitely something that would be great here too.
It's low. It's really low, plus 230.
And and to me, I really do think Parma could pull it off. It's not out of the question, because this is also like a big club. We don't see many big clubs get brought up. Like, you know, this is like a pride thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to look at intangibles and all these other stuff that you won't see pop up on the stat, like this place is going to be a difficult environment to play in. And Fiorentina getting that first test, I could easily see Parma getting a result out of this.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm leaning, where there's plus money on money lines or draws. Usually everybody says for draws, but you get the point. Like, I think Parma is in that position here where they could make a statement first game. We're here. We're back in Serie A. We're one of the bigger clubs, or were in the past. And that's where we're returning to, and no better club to do it than against Fiorentina, who are sort of like, you know, historically like on their level in terms of like Serie A clubs. So,
and I think you said it too, like Fiorentina's kind of like in flux right now, right? Gudmundsson's coming in, but he won't be available yet. He's getting medicals tomorrow, from what I saw from Skira. You know, how good is Moise Kean, right?
Zero goals last year. I love the guy, but zero goals last year. I don't give a shit. Like, you don't.
Yeah.
You know, Colpani's interesting. Like you said, like he's a player I liked when I saw Monza, but like, you know, Paladino's in, right? He's first bigger job. I think it is a spot where they could maybe slip up a little bit the first match.
I hope he does well overall. I really didn't like Italiano, so I'm happy for Paladino. I hope he can make it happen. But I don't believe in – I don't think Gonzalez is that good, first of all. That's another rant that I'll save for another day. Beltran's not that good. Dude, and this is a team, year five of starting Kwame, of starting Ikone every single game.
They're so good at everything but finishing.
They don't finish.
Inconsistent crossing. How many times did Ikone, right, like blow whatever opportunities they had?
He was every time I bet him, that's for sure.
I know. Well, yeah, because we used to talk about it all the time. I think he was probably top three infuriating players to bet. Probably, I think Vlahovic would be up there if you're a Vlahovic better. And maybe even Leao to an extent. I don't know how like people usually bet. I know you wouldn't bet him to score, but. Either way, my God, they're so annoying. Like everything great in the buildup centrally, no one really there that's a huge threat. Even Keane is not that sort of central in the penalty area threat. He's not a poacher. Keane is better a little bit out wide and drifting in, but isolated up top, number nine. Like, it's interesting to see how Paladino plays it. They do have some moving parts. If Fiorentina are interesting, I think on paper, they're pretty talented. But this sort of match and where they're going right now, I think it really is a good spot for Parma. And that's just what I was looking at. Because I don't really love all the matchups this week, to be honest with you.
So let me throw one more at you. Because Bologna, excellent season last year, right? In the Champions League this year, they lose their manager. They lose Xerxe. They lose Calafiori. And, you know, Italiano comes in, who Nick is not the fondest of. And they're -125 on the money line or -115 on the money line to open the season against Udinese. Like, is a double chance here for Udinese in play?
Yeah, a draw.
At -120.
Udinese, double chance. Absolutely. Chance. These are like the two draw teams. I'm not looking at the standings from last year, but I guarantee you both of these teams are in the top five, probably top three from last year for draws.
Ferguson tore his ACL. Correct?
Yep.
Yes, he's out too.
Right. So, like, Ndoye, did Ndoye leave too, or is that just a rumor?
He's in they're 55-45 for Orsolini or him to start in this match.
He's probably going to get a lot more time. But yeah,
it's a big weird spot adjustment for Bologna.
Yep.
They never had expectations like this, literally ever. So to have that Italiano,
like those 3-4 big pieces between manager and players, and then have to step into a match like this, and Udinese, obviously it was only a Serie C team, Avellino, that they beat, but they handily beat them in the Coppa. Like, they've got a little momentum coming in.
Udinese are like the cockroaches of Serie A.
Yeah,
they just let them live.
Yep,
this is how they prosper and stay in this league. Because they didn't get relegated. They're not going to get relegated this year. It's just not. It's not. I would say I want them to
so bad.
We do. But, you know, we just got Sassuolo. You're not going to get another gift. So.
Fact.
I agree. That's a good shout. I just also saw the Atalanta odds. By the way,
That's a stone cold lock. They're scoring 3 goals this week.
Okay, so you're not. So that was going to be my question. You're not like worried about them at all.
I don't know.
Some of these losses.
Nope.
I know you don't care for the striker that they lost because you're not a big fan of him. But they played okay against Real Madrid.
They also played 3 days ago. Does that, like, 4 days ago by the time this is played? Like, does that affect them so early in the season?
No peaking. Name 5 guys on Lecce.
Bro, I can't. No.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's like not also like prior to last season I could only name you like maybe 5 guys on Bologna.
Yeah, and Lecce was tough last year at home. They took points off the teams last year.
No, they started off the year hot.
Lecce's weird. Lecce, they're giant slayers. They play up in some of the big games.
Yeah, they do.
They were thorn in Lazio's side, even the
and Roma.
Was it last year? Correct.
Yep, two wins against Lazio.
They
come from behind wins, actually.
And I think they also drew against Milan, too. Like, this isn't like some team that kind of like lays down against some of these top sides. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to still see them like that. Again, well, that's a really weird typo. on FanDuel. They have Nikola Kristov, and it has that and symbol and hashtag 263 with a semicolon next to it. So it just looks very strange.
Like
Sorry.
It's on AIM.
Yeah, Messenger, basically. Right? Yeah, like a Discord name. Yeah, I don't know. Goal score. Rategi is highest to score. Is he going to start for them?
Probably. He didn't start this game against Real, so it wouldn't shock me if he did. CDK, good number.
CDK plus 230.
300, I see over here. Actually, yeah,
I got plus 275 here.
Yeah, that's another thing too. If you're on multiple books, like check FanDuel, check DraftKings, check Fanatics, whatever else is available to you.
Odds checker is very good.
The goal scorers always fluctuate on different sites. Like I remember, I think it was in the Copa and the Euros this year. Like I would send out like Hamas numbers to Nick or whatever, and it would be so different from one to the next. But
yeah. I like Banda. Banda is a pretty good player for Lecce. That's the only one I noticed besides Sansone. Yeah.
Who somehow doesn't matter what team he's on, he just doesn't start.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. But this Atalanta side themselves are, you know, I think that validation of winning that Europa League trophy is a big boost.
Yeah.
If that kind of makes sense.
And they're not scared to make moves, man. Like they brought in guys, they sold guys, they didn't even have that
much turnover for Atalanta, to be honest with you. Their key pieces that they lost are injuries right now. Well, Koopmeiners will be the big one. Yeah. Koopmeiners will be the big one, but I mean, they're probably going to go in for Samardžić. They're getting, like, I think if anyone would have the money that'd be willing to pay up front, like, if he went there, that'd be incredible for them.
Yeah,
that'd be insane.
And I would have really asked Gasperini to, like, revive Zaniolo to some extent or something.
That players. I don't buy.
I'm not saying he's going to be like the world beater he was when he first came up with Roma, but he might, maybe he finds 10 goals out of him or something. You know, like
if he finds 10 goals out of Zaniolo,
unbelievable. Yeah. Give him a statue.
I think, yeah, I honestly, Gasperini does deserve a statue.
Maybe all competitions, maybe not in Serie A, but you know, like if he's scoring 7 to 10 goals for them, like
after. I get what you're saying. Yeah. I think he could be like sort of that outside threat. I think he would be in a better system again, even with Mourinho and Roma and that falling out. Like it's just. There were talented players on Roma. That was just one of the worst systems I've ever seen. And I'm not a Zaniolo truther. Like I'm not someone who believes in this guy. I also don't think he's as bad as we've seen him.
No.
It's really a health thing, and he just needs to be in the right mindset. I think he's a very immature individual.
Yeah.
From everything we hear about him, his actions, you know, you gotta grow up eventually. And that's sort of something Gasp works on with these players.
You're watching me. No. You're watching me on my phone right now. Hard Rock Bet. I'm placing Atalanta over 1.5 goals minus 105.
Oh, that's actually really good.
That placed right here live on the air. That's the fucking play of the weekend. There's no way that they do not score 2 goals this game. I don't give a shit who's in there.
All right. 11. So if you're saying that, then I'll go with that then. What are they? They're going to be the away team in this?
They're away.
Yep.
All right. There you go, Nick. I'll tell you.
Coach, come on.
I don't know. I don't know if you were just
talking about Zaniolo nabbing 10 goals.
He is pushing out of 1.5 live.
Come on.
Lecce, like I said, they're tough at home.
I know what you're saying.
Scotty were here, he would have bet with us.
I'm just trying to have fun.
Yeah. So I think we'll wrap it there, right? I don't think there's anything else that really jumps out in any of these other matches. A couple of them that we didn't touch on, but yeah.
Any last thoughts, Martino, on the league, on any team, on anything before you let everybody know what you're up to, which is crushing the fucking game right now.
Yeah. Top 4 odds on FanDuel are all interesting to me. Milan's even coming in at minus 180, which is fucking bonkers.
They're a lock for it.
Use my language. That's just like, to me, is nuts. But again, if you're kind of iffy on Napoli, minus 155, I really like either Atalanta or Roma to place in that top 4. If Napoli were to fall out, I like playing devil's advocate with this. If you don't truly love Napoli, you think they'll stumble. I think ultimately they do get in because I think Conte is that good, unless this shit drags on and it's a problem, which is very real. I think Roma or Atalanta. And again, top 4 finish for Roma on BetMGM is far better, plus 300 if you're a believer in that. just to kind of like show some of that. As far as relegation goes, I don't see too many interesting numbers here. Maybe Verona plus 105, but there's nothing that really like jumps out to me this year. I think the futures for the Scudetto are a little interesting, but that's really it. Yeah,
man, Como, I'm looking at him right now, plus 900 to go down. Like I have to take it.
They're 700 on FanDuel, and 900 comparatively is Torino's number.
And Genoa's plus 1,000 to go down. I don't think they do, but that's just a silly number for a team that's not going to score a lot of goals.
Lecce plus 340 to go down.
Another one. Fuck.
I think there's, because there's so many candidates, some of them have to get odds like this.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. There's a lot of bad teams. We saw it last year. There was like six teams like in the relegation.
Horrible. Yeah.
Like, and I think there's six or eight this year, quite honestly.
Yeah. And the funniest thing was Salernitana was by far and away the worst one.
By
guess
far
we drew
away.
Against them. Yeah. Yeah. Bald son of a bitch. Yeah. So that's all I have with futures.
Brother, thank you so much for coming on. As always, let everybody know. You said you got an article dropping. I know you and Matt are killing the podcast game. Tell us what's going on.
Lots of stuff. Finished up Olympics. Finally have some time. So the Athletic article coming out tomorrow, pretty much looking at futures for the upcoming season in the top four leagues. Didn't really do anything on Ligue 1. To me, it's not really a league I know that well of. I just know certain prospects out of there. Basically, just covering what I like in the Premier League. The goal scoring odds that are on BetMGM are insane. Haaland, again, I'll just make quick note of this. Haaland minus 160. Next closest is plus 1,200. So it's Christmas morning for whoever wants to take someone not named Erling Haaland. Go for it. And then just stuff with Bundesliga, Serie A, and all that. And again, I did tell you with Villa for this weekend. So Milan Inter Villa moneyline parlay. Probably going to backfire on the Aston Villa one, from what I understand. Some people are off on it, but hoping Nick comes through for me here. Just that, and then that Milan podcast, if you're interested in any Milan content, Matt and I do a bunch. He was on with you guys. Was it last week?
Last week.
So that was a great one. I love watching that, and Carlos stopping by for it.
You disappointed me, Carlos. Where were you today, dude? We were waiting for you.
Hey, man, listen, not everybody stays inside in Florida at this time of year, right? They can't all be like Nick, placing bets on Hard Rock. But Carlos is old and annoying. But, yeah, that's pretty much what I have going forward for this. Premier League season is exciting, so tune in on Peacock this Sunday. I'm working the Manchester City-Chelsea game, so that's very exciting to get to do. So, nothing else. I love coming on, talking with you guys. Some local friends of mine. And shout out Scotty, wherever he is.
Yeah. Thanks again for coming on, Martino.
Appreciate it, brother.
We'll have plenty more coverage for everybody. If you're not on our YouTube channel yet, subscribe there. We're dropping shorts with some other plays we like throughout the season. And catch you guys next week.